Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, fixing AWS bills here in San Francisco or wherever I happen to find them. This episode was not sponsored by Juul, the e-cigarette company. Juul, pieces of you. Because who will vape your soul? Hey, it smells like flowers now. Who will vape your souls after those lies that you told? No, it is instead sponsored by Josh Duty at fearlesssalarynegotiation.com. I'm a big fan of negotiating for more money because I like money a lot. And if I were going to take a job, I would negotiate additional salary without question. That's you're trading time and you can't ever make more of that. You can make more money. Despite giving conference talks on how to effectively negotiate, I would, in a heartbeat, hire Josh myself as a coach if I were staring at a job offer. He specializes in helping software engineers at large tech companies get the most value for their time. He has a number of clients and he has a very wide view of the entire industry. But he does a lot more than coaching. If you visit salarynegotiation.com, he's written a whole bunch of articles, he's written an ebook, and he's always willing to hop on the phone and talk people through what they're thinking. Josh Duty at fearlesssalarynegotiation.com, thanks for your sponsorship, and thanks for listening to me from time to time. So what happened last week in the wide world of AWS? Kind of a lot. We begin with Amazon API Gateway, or API Gateway, now supports access logging to Kinesis Data Firehose. And the biggest loser here, of course, is CloudWatch Logs as they cry, watching their 50-cent per gigabyte revenue stream evaporate with the dawn. Amazon Chime now supports screen sharing from Mozilla Firefox and Google Chrome without a plugin or an extension, which is good news for AWS customers talking with AWS employees because now you no longer have to install Chime whatsoever. Amazon CloudWatch now sends alarm state change events to Amazon EventBridge. You can now invoke Lambdas on things like network outages, CPU overruns, and your CloudWatch bill passing the stratosphere. Amazon EC2 hibernation is now available on Windows. I have to beg your pardon for a second, because I haven't had a Windows laptop in 13 years, and back then, hibernation meant that one time out of five, I'd have to restart the thing from scratch. Did that ever get solved on Windows laptops and desktops, or is EC2 leapfrogging that whole problem too? Amazon EC2 instances are now available in South America. What the hell was that region doing before? I assume they mean specific instance types, but I'm too lazy to click a link. Amazon EFS is now in the EC2 launch instance wizard. It's never been easier to make piss-poor architectural decisions in the console. Amazon EMR adds support for Spark 2.4.4, Flink 1.8.1, and the ability to reconfigure multiple master nodes. Which one of those is not like the other ones? Amazon FSx for Windows File Server now enables administrators to restore activity on files locked by inactive users. Every part of that headline speaks to a horrifying failure mode that I fortunately had no idea existed, and I'm going to continue on in blissful ignorance. Amazon GuardDuty adds three new threat detections. Those three threats are DNS rebinding to the metadata endpoint, someone turning off S3 block public access on a bucket, and that SRE you hired with a bad attitude and a gambling problem. Amazon Redshift improves performance of inter-region snapshot transfers. What the first half of this headline giveth, the second half taketh away. Amazon SNS now supports additional mobile push notification headers as message attributes. It's very rapidly becoming a de facto API for multi-platform push notifications. Hang on, give me a second, my phone is buzzing. AWS CodePipeline adds execution visualization to pipeline execution history. So you can now see here in the diagram where your application busted itself to chunks. This episode is also sponsored by Chaos Search. A big reason that I originally supported Chaos Search was that my friend Pete Cheslock was their VP of product. He announced on Twitter last week that he's leaving and moving on to do something else. So do I still endorse Chaos Search? Hell yes I do, because running Elasticsearch yourself is crap. It provides an Elasticsearch-compatible API where you don't have to worry about keeping compute and storage together because the data lives in an S3 bucket and the compute lives on containers that can scale up or down with traffic. You don't have to worry about insane licensing problems. You don't have to worry about the joy of scaling things up or down. And you don't have to worry about what happens if a single node in your cluster fills up and blows itself up. Chaos Search, bringing order to nonsense. Visit them at chaossearch.io. And my thanks to them for supporting this podcast and best wishes to Pete in his next adventure. AWS Code Pipeline enables setting environment variables on AWS Code Build build jobs because secrets management always comes down to environment variables. That is both depressing and very true. AWS IoT Greengrass now provides deployment notifications. Wait, it's called IoT Greengrass now? Just thought you'd sneak that in and I wouldn't catch it, Amazon? Don't you know who I am? This is what I do. I make fun of naming. Speaking of terrible things in IoT, AWS IoT Things Graph now provides workflow monitoring with AWS CloudWatch. Have they tried graphing their name first? If so, they'd have realized that it's Internet of Things Things Graph. You can now expand your Amazon MSK clusters and deploy new clusters across two availability zones. Wait, until now you were stuck using it in a single AZ, so you just have one massively challenging single point of failure? And people were using this in production? Migration complete. Amazon's consumer business just turned off its final Oracle database. Oracle's gloating that even Amazon couldn't wean themselves off of Oracle databases for many years, and that didn't send the message that they think that it does. Frankly, I don't want to hear another word about cloud lock-in from Oracle ever again. New Amazon CloudWatch Anomaly Detection, which is awesome. What it does is it takes a look at what the historical performance of a metric has been, and anything that gets too far outside of that triggers an alert. Now, I love this offering, but I'm also simultaneously cringing at how many terrible companies are going to plug this directly into PagerDuty and abuse the crap out of their engineering staff at 2 a.m. It's really useful insight, but you need to test it before you start abusing your staff with it. Have it maybe alert to a Slack channel or something for a while first until it gets dialed in the way you think it will. Also announced at reInvent last year and now available only 11 short months later, Amazon Relational Database Service, or RDS, on VMware. That's right, it's RDS running on your own hardware, which means you only now have to pay for the hardware, the data center it lives in, the data transfer to and from AWS, Direct Connect over which it transfers, your VMware license, a per-hour instance charge per RDS VM you're running locally, business or enterprise support from AWS, which is required for this service, and any CloudWatch metrics you want. Simple, easy, and cheap. It's none of those things. AWS has sponsored the Rust project, and that's awesome. I love to see them giving back to the open source world. The problem, of course, is that since Rust developers never stop extolling the benefits of Rust long enough to build anything with it, AWS is basically sponsoring an engineering filibuster. And finally, AWS has achieved FedRAMP JAB high and moderate provisional authorization across 18 services in the US East/West and AWS GovCloud regions. There are a few things I want to slice apart there. One, it's FedRAMP. It deals with government and government contractors. Two, they call it US East/West, not US East 1 or 2 or US West 1 or 2. It's almost like they're starting to think of these things as giant super regions, which is telling. Third, the fact that there's now FedRAMP authorizations possible in commercial regions means that for fewer and fewer use cases does GovCloud make sense. If you can possibly run a workload in a commercial region instead of GovCloud, it's highly recommended that you do it for your own sanity. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. If you have any questions about your AWS bill, or basically you just want to hear me make fun of things in real time, visit me at lastweekinaws.com. My thanks to both Josh Duty and Chaos Search for sponsoring this episode, and I'll talk to you next week.
This has been a Humble Pod production. Stay humble.